The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I could see there was kind of a lump on my chest. And so I go to the doctor, you know, get it checked out. And they're like, we should just take the tumor out just to be sure. I came out of the surgery and I couldn't sing. And I began to think, like, Lord, why would you leave me here?
Right.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. Belinda, how are you?
Hello, everyone. Happy to be here.
I'm glad that you're here. And we're excited because we have a musician here who almost wasn't even able to sing.
And I'm telling you, once you hear, like, it's one note that comes out, and you're like, okay, there is something here. It's a gift from heaven.
Yeah, we'll hear some of the music here shortly, but let's welcome Bay Turner to Life Today. How you doing?
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you guys for having
me. We're so happy that you are here. Tell the audience a bit about you because I'm a new Bay Turner fan.
Come on.
I know. And I heard a song that we're actually going to hear in a bit.
Yeah.
And truly, it isn't just the gifting that you have, the instrument that you have, which is so amazing. But there's really something deep within you that comes out when you sing. And it's so obvious.
Yeah.
And there's a story that got you to this place. So tell the audience a bit about how you even discovered you had a gift.
Yeah.
And weave that into the spiritual journey you've been on.
Oh, man, I love this. So a little backstory, my parents are divorced. So I come from a broken home. And it's funny now, looking back in retrospect, how God used that brokenness and really sort of turned it into the catalyst for why I'm able to have a ministry and do what I do. My dad, he would pick me up from my mom's house, which is like an hour and a half away in Texas. And as soon as he would pick me up, he'd put some music on, like he'd get a mixtape, say, from the gas station, or he'd make something at work. And
mixtape. So yes,
I know. This for those listening,
this puts you into an age category.
No, I know. I used to make those too.
Yeah. Right. So I would get in the car and there'd be like a Stevie Wonder song, and then there would be Donny Hathaway and Luther Vandross and these great soul musicians. And I remember my little brain, I would kind of pick up on these sounds and think, man, I've got to replicate those. And so, you know, he'd play a smorgasbord of things, but those were always the sounds that I was drawn to as a kid. And I remember there was one Whitney Houston song, I Have Nothing, and it came on the mixtape on the radio in his little Toyota pickup. And I was like, ooh, there's something about this. So I kind of tried to start singing the song. And my dad was like, you know, you didn't quite hit that note. And he's not a singer. Nobody in my family sings. But they all have kind of an ear for music. And he was like, next time you come back, when I pick you up, have this song ready. Go work on it. And so I spent the whole week working on my riffs and my runs and my belt.
Wow.
And I came back and he said he was floored. Like the song was vocally in a great shape compared to what it was previous. And so I think that was kind of the inception to me falling in love with music. Was it was birthed out of this really, you know, kind of tough beginning of my life, and it turned into the vehicle that totally shaped my sound and made me fall in love with music. So I went on to, I was never really good at anything else. I played soccer a little bit, but I wasn't great with math or science or anything like that. I'm like, I'll go to school for music. I started out at a state school in Texas. And so I showed up and I was like, you know, just a kid from Texas that likes to sing. And they plopped this big stack of books in front of me, and it's 12 different opera arias. And I'm like, I don't know what, I think I know what opera is from like Looney Tunes or something. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with this. And from that point on was sort of a training ground that led me to where I'm at now. I ended up traveling the world, went to New York to study, sang all across Europe. And I ended up, honestly, it's kind of crazy in retrospect. I didn't really love the music side. I loved to sing. I loved connecting with people. I knew that was a gift that the Lord had placed within me. But I didn't love how it made me feel that all that I was doing was trying to further Bay and to make other people excited about how I sound, and there was no heart behind it. And I knew there was this sort of gut feeling in me that was like, you've got to do more with this music. And, you know, as I was wrestling with the Lord, what do I do with music? I'm walking around Brooklyn and I hear, Lord, I will lift mine eyes to the hills. This song called Total Praise, this choir song. It was pumped out into the street, and I followed the sound and I ended up at the Brooklyn Tabernacle.
Oh, nice.
Which was, you know, I walk in, there's 400 plus people singing. Oof. And I'm like, this is what it's about.
Yeah.
All that I've been working on from being a little kid in my dad's passenger seat learning Whitney Houston to singing across the globe, I'm supposed to use this gift in this way. And that was sort of the start that led me to where I'm at now, making music for Jesus.
And everything went smoothly after that point, right?
Yeah. You say yes to God, God use me, and then everything is just rainbows and unicorns.
That's right. That's how it always works, amen?
Yeah, I know. No. You would hope, yeah, right? But no, that's not what happened.
No, yeah, I ended up, it's crazy. I look back in retrospect, and I'm so thankful for the pain that sort of shaped my heart and my mind in this season, but I go in, you know, I'm working out. I probably should get back in the gym, but I was working out and I could see there was kind of a lump on my chest. And so I go to the doctor, you know, get it checked out. They don't think it's cancer. Everything's benign. So I go in, they're like, we should just take the tumor out just to be sure, make sure, you know, take every precaution.
Yeah.
And I came out of the surgery and I couldn't sing. And I'm like, you know, I'm a singer, so I'm always testing my voice all the time. And something just felt off. And I'm like, you know, maybe it's just, this is byproduct from being under the knife and I just need to take some time. A week goes by, my voice gets worse. 2 weeks go by and I have nothing. And it turns out the anesthesiologist with the intubation tube nicked my vocal cord.
Oh my goodness.
And so, you know, it's like the singer's worst nightmare. It's like a painter losing a hand or something.
Yeah.
I went to an ENT and he said, you'll never sing again. Oh. You will never talk the same again, and sort of just put this heavy diagnosis on me. And I began to think, man, like, Lord, why would you leave
right.
me here?
Yeah.
Right.
Why would you allow this to happen to me? I just made this dedication to use my gift only to bring you glory, and now you're going to stop me from being able to sing?
Yeah.
And I remember I was in my apartment in Brooklyn, and I had a closet probably this wide, and I get into the closet and pull my feet up, and I'm just, you know, close the door behind me, and I'm sitting talking to Jesus, and I'm like, okay, Lord, this is the work. This is what I've got to do. I've got to make sure that I get in this quiet place from you, with you, to hear, make sure I can hear from you about what is my next step. Do I become a plumber or an electrician? I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. And God said, that's not what you should worry about right now. Right now, your identity is wrapped up in you being a singer. I was always singing Whitney Houston in the corner as a kid. That was my identity. And the Lord began to say, your identity is not a singer. It's what I've gifted you to do. Mm-hmm. But your identity is to be a son of God.
Wow.
You are a co-heir to the kingdom of Christ. And that's what gives you worth. That's what gives you value, not the thing that you do well. And I remember I was talking to the Lord and I was really shaking my fist at him. And I began to hear him say, like, I can take it. I can take it. You give me every anger, every fear, every worry. I'll take it like a man. But I want you to know that this is not the end of your story. I have to do some heart work first. And once that's complete, then I'll heal in the physical. And so 3 months of silence, 3 months of duking it out with the Lord. And I came out and went to the ENT doctor, voice doctor, and he said, there's been a miracle performed on your voice. I've never seen anything like it in my practice. There's no scarring, there's no issues. You have perfectly clean, perfect, healthy vocal cords. And now I feel like I've got a little bit more of an authority when I sing just because I've been through something.
Yeah, you know? That's wild. Why do you think God let you go through that season? You think it was just the inner working? I mean—
Oh yeah.
Because I'm always like, you know, Lord, do the inner working without the pain, right? I'm open to it.
You know what, Randy? What I think about happens with our human nature is though you would maybe be even using it for, you might be singing in churches or things that are for the Lord.
Yes.
There would still be an applause of man that would mean something to you.
That's right.
Wow.
And what I think sometimes he allows us to walk through those things so that we release the applause of man and we only operate for the applause of heaven.
That's right.
And that inner working actually overflows so that when people hear it and receive it, they are actually, without knowing it, touched by the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
There's a move
of the
Holy
Spirit.
Yes, because you're out of the way.
Yes.
I think that is probably what happened in your heart, because I know when you sing, that authority is evident.
Come on.
The gifting is evident.
Thank you, Jesus.
But also how I receive it when I hear it, it moves me. And I think that is, one, what music does. But because it can.
I think you can only go so far on gifting alone. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot of gifted people. It says the gifts come without repentance. And so I think we see hundreds and thousands of incredibly gifted people. But I'm really inspired by the ministries of like a C.C. Winans. Mm-hmm. She's one of the most gifted women in the world when it comes to being a singer. But I don't think about her gift when she sings. I feel the presence of Almighty God. And so I pray that through that sort of refiner's fire that I went through with my voice, that I was able to be, Bay was taken out of the equation, and Jesus can step in and be the authority behind what I do and how I sing. So I'm thankful for it. It's crazy to be on the other side and say, thank you, Jesus, for putting me through pain.
I think we should listen to a little bit of this. Let
the audience
hear what it sounds like.
You okay with that? They're going to be so blessed.
All right. Well, we're going to show you a video performance of Bay Turner. This is, but it's a little more. We'll be back with Bay after this. You got to hear this.
Day when my faith
Wow. So good. So good.
Wipe the tears. Yeah. It was amazing.
So here's my question for you, babe, because, you know, it's easy for people watching television to hear this and see this and think, oh, wow. But they wonder about themselves. Mm. What would you say to someone who might be in the closet as you were in prayer, wrestling with God, going through the pain? What would you maybe tell them as someone who's kind of gotten to the other side of that?
Oh, man. You know, a scripture that held me through, and it's kind of a random one, is in Zephaniah 3:17 when it talks about how he sings over us. Mm. And I was taken aback by that because I'd heard it my whole life. And I want to say to somebody that's maybe not on the other end of their obstacle or their trial, that the intention that it takes, for instance, for me to sing over my little niece and nephew, to sing a song over them, the heart posture, the love, the attention, the care that I would have to sing over a thing, the same exact heart posture our Father has for us. Mm-hmm. And I think if He's going to love us that intimately and that sweetly to sing a song over us, I would hope that your biggest storms, your biggest obstacles, the things that you never would think the Lord could handle or take on, He's singing a song over them. And so I would say, I know this may sound a little like woo-woo, but just bask in that song and let your Creator sing over your situation. Let Him sing peace over your heart. Let the Holy Spirit come in and just infiltrate every single fear and worry. And last thing I would say is just give it to Him. Mm-hmm. I think that there's so much that we carry around because we think it's our job to carry, but it says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. So when we take on His yoke, He can take that and remove all the fear, all the heaviness, all the oppression. And so that's my prayer for anybody that hears it as well, that hears my song, somebody's praying. Mm-hmm. I just want them to know that there's a Father over them that's singing over them and wants to take off the heavy load.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and you know what I love? I love the fact that God gave you this gift. You discovered it as a child early. It got you to the highest level of, you know, music education, got you on America's Got Talent, right?
Yeah,
got it,
yeah.
All these places. But you've given that gift back to Him. And He multiplies it so much more.
That's
right. And often we might be tempted to think, this is God's gift He gave me. I want to use it.
Right.
But when we give it back, there's something in that giving, turning things over to God that
yes.
does amazing things.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
I love it. Okay, it's gift time. It's gift time right here at Life
talk
Today.
Talk about giving. Yes.
Talk about giving and talk about how a gift can give glory to God. We're going to invite you into something very special because we want this Christmas, yes, we're talking Christmas already, to be a special gift for some people who don't usually get a great gift. Watch this and you'll understand.
If there's one thing mothers around the world pray for above all else, it's the health of their children. And with everything these children are exposed to, that can be a tall order. This year, you may have partnered with Life Outreach out of compassion to take care of some basic needs, like clean drinking water and a daily bowl of food. But have you ever thought about the dangers children face every day simply from being children? With poverty as the deciding factor in what these mothers can provide for their children, a pair of shoes is a necessity that many children will never have. This coming Christmas season, we'd like to do something special for these children and give them a pair of shoes of their very own. These shoes will not only protect their feet from injury and disease, but will be a treasured possession that will remind them of God's love.
And this is a real need, shoes for the children. Please join with us. You'll get such great joy out of it. I know you will. God bless you and thank you.
Belinda, this is the first time that you've been able to talk about this in the year.
This is the first one.
It is so fun. Oh,
and it's just the idea that they would get something so tangible, immediate, that their life would immediately be better.
Well,
like,
and
that's awesome.
That is the thing. So when you saw this, you probably didn't think there are health ramifications of going barefoot.
Yes, you think about the no water and the no food, but
right.
I'm like, wow, to not have shoes and all the things, I'm sure there's actual, maybe you tell me, what are the biggest dangers?
So obviously when you're barefoot and you're out in the wild, you can get cuts on your feet. And when you get cuts on your feet, you can get infection from the contaminated water that we deal with, or there's hookworms. Here's the crazy thing. It's not something you naturally think about, but I've been places where I've seen children's feet and thought, what happened? What went wrong there?
Wow.
And it actually can be deadly.
Wow.
And so, yes, it's wonderful to go, a new pair of shoes for a child. And you know, we've given away hundreds of thousands now. We've got 150,000 children that we want to provide shoes for this year. But you also go, no, this could actually save a child's life.
And I think what's hard, what I paid attention to in the video is they're already having to try to find water and right. food. This is almost considered a luxury in some way to provide shoes. And you don't want to make that choice for a mom where they're having to choose all of these different things because poverty is really what's choosing for them.
And that's why we do it around Christmas. And I know it's a little bit early, but it does take time to get the shoes there, to get them distributed. So yeah, we're talking Christmas already. And it really is a gift, a special gift. And you see them passed down. Because kids outgrow shoes pretty quick, but they pass them around to their siblings, to others in the village. And I don't want you to forget the smiles, because there are children who desperately need a surgery this year for a cleft palate, a cleft lip. It will enable them to smile. So we hope you will give Shoes and Smiles this year. Just to give you an idea, $36 will give shoes to 10 children. The gift of $180 would give shoes to 50 children. The surgeries are about $500 each on average. Maybe you could give $1,000, provide two surgeries or 275 pairs of shoes, whatever you can do. Let's give. We always give in the name of Jesus. What better time than Christmas? I hope you today will go online, go to the phone, give a pair of shoes, maybe give a smile to the child. Let's make this Christmas special.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from things we often take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes, and while that may seem minor, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of painful infections, injury, and life-threatening diseases. But this Christmas, you can bring hope and healing. Your gift today will help provide new shoes for 150,000 children in time for the holidays. And for some children, a beautiful new smile. Your gift of $36 will help provide shoes for 10 children. $72 will help provide for 20. $180 will help provide shoes for 50. And a gift of $500 will help provide a cleft surgery, restoring a child's smile for a lifetime. As a thank you for your gift, please request the first time ever duo color crystal shoe ornament with beautiful green and red accents. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this keepsake box set featuring five of life's colorful crystal shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or corrective smile surgeries for two children. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Good Shepherd. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I hope you will go online. Go to the phone right now. Let's make this Christmas so special. It means so much. We can only do it with your support. Bay, man, it's been great, Belinda. This is awesome.
It's been awesome. It is always a privilege to really meet somebody that carries such a profound gift.
We have more music. Did you know that?
I know. Yes. Yeah. And he has, because he mentioned it.
It's a new song.
Somebody's
Praying. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is available on lifetoday.org and some other places, but you can check out your music anywhere. What's your website for people that want to follow?
Just bayturner.com, bayturner.com. You can find my performing schedule and all my music and everything in between.
Amazing.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's been so good. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for being here. Come back. We've got more for you next time here on Life Today.
See you soon.
visit lifetoday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs. Explore impactful ministry outreaches and discover life-changing spiritual resources. Visit lifetoday.org and experience the best of life.
I was in a neurological hailstorm, and I'm begging God, not now, not now. Please, no, not at this stage, not at this age. Oh, God, not again.
Tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.